Here's Monitor Now on NBC.
Yes, sir, you know it. My name's Joe Garagiola. Hey, you ever thought of getting married on skis right in the middle of a big ski resort? I mean, for the guys and gals that's already married, forget it. I'm talking to all those couples who'll be bride and groom in the near future. We've got an interesting bit coming up for you. We're going to find out more about a scheduled Valentine's Day wedding on skis. I talked to him earlier. I'll tell you something. The groom better remember to bring two important things, the ring and safety bindings.
I'm guilty every time, and I always will, because this heart of mine needs you so. Maybe I'm a fool, but I don't know why you wanna play it cool. And my love is getting stronger, so don't be fooled.
Jefferson, not the original, you understand. And now, Monitor Sports. And my guest today on Monitor's Open Line is Mark Fleischman, president of the Big Vanilla at Davos Ski Resort in Woodridge, New York, who's going to play Cupid on February 14th, which is St. Valentine's Day, of course. Mark has been looking for a couple that loves skiing as much as they love each other. And Mark, have you found anybody who loves skiing as much as they love each other?
Well, so far we found about 10 different couples that want to get married, and we're interviewing them to find out how well they ski and their preference as to what kind of wedding they want. Probably in a week or so we'll come up with something.
Mark, are you putting me on now? You found 10 couples that...
Yeah, there was an article in the Daily News about 2 weeks ago, and we just happened to have mentioned it to somebody. They picked it up, and they picked it up in Florida and a few other places. And we've gotten quite a few calls and letters saying that people would like to get married on skis.
Why?
I don't know, but I guess a lot of people like skiing an awful lot. And, of course, we're offering a free honeymoon and a free reception. And if somebody likes skiing that much, you know, it's all set for them.
What?
And I guess it's sort of cute. Something to remember, certainly.
Oh, it's something to remember, all right. What are you looking for in the couple besides this great ability to ski?
Well, I guess just personality, and because I imagine we're going to, they'll be interviewed, and, you know, there'll be quite a few gifts being given to them by different companies and things, so it's mostly personality.
How do you plan to pick the winner now?
That's a tough question. You know, we didn't really expect to have so many, so now we have a real problem on our hands. We'd like to have 10 couples, but all on one day it would be rather crowded.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like busy season.
Sure, you know, lining them all up. I don't think we'll be able to do that.
Now, is everybody going to be on skis? I mean, even the minister?
The minister will be on skis, and the couple will be on skis, and of course, after they get married, the ushers will be our ski school, who have their poles crossed overhead and they'll ski beneath them. We had this set up, we did this last year, and it was quite successful, and everybody had an awfully good time. And the couple are very happy, and they're still together, and they're coming up this year again.
I hate to bring this up, but every time you hear about skiing, you hear about accidents.
Well, there are some, but...
What if an accident occurs during the wedding?
We can take care of it. We have the ski patrol to take care of them, but hopefully it won't. It'd be a disaster, I'm afraid.
What kind of a wedding ceremony? Yes, but after the wedding, is it going to be outdoors? Is it going to be one big ski party, or is it going to be in the lodge? Or are ski bums invited? Tell me about it.
The wedding will be outside, and I suppose everybody around will be there. This particular Valentine's Day occurs on a Saturday, and we're quite busy. So I imagine there'll be thousands of people watching this wedding. And I mean literally thousands. It'll be at the top of the beginner's hill, which is a nice, flat, big, wide area. I'm not quite sure what kind of service it'll be, because it depends on the bride and groom, although we have a judge who happens to ski standing by. If the judge does it, there'll be a simple ceremony on top of the slopes, and the bride and groom will ski down, and then, of course, everybody will come back, and they've invited, the bride and groom will invite, a group of their own guests to a reception that, of course, we're giving them.
Mark, how old, you say you have some 10 couples, how old is the oldest, and how young is the youngest?
They run from around 20 up to 30.
No over 30s, huh?
No over 30s.
There's that generation gap again, Mark.
I guess so. Well, this is pretty far out, wedding on skis.
I would have to think so. I've been to a lot of Italian weddings, and the kids go across with sneakers, but never with skis. Mark, good luck to you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Mark Fleischman, the president of the Big Manila at Davos Ski Resort at Woodridge, New York. He's been a guest on Monitor's Open Line. And just a reminder now, next weekend, Monitor will be in California for on-the-spot coverage of the Bing Crosby National Pro-Am Golf Tournament. And this one's new from Mama Cass, and it's a Monitor Pick of the Week. New World Coming. Whenever you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Nearly 5,000 institutions of higher learning in the United States have been approved by the Veterans Administration and state agencies for GI training. Many of these colleges and universities make special arrangements for veterans despite the waiting lists and the enrollment deadlines. If you are a veteran just returning home, find out about your opportunities for college under the GI Bill. Do it as soon as you get that uniform off, and perhaps you can enroll as a special student right now, without waiting for the new term to start. Do it before you get lost in some dead-end job that doesn't measure up to your ability or to your ambition. The Veterans Administration can provide GI Bill information and assistance, so why not plan to get in touch with the VA tomorrow? Weather forecast for the New York area, mostly cloudy this afternoon with a chance of an occasional snow flurry, a high in the 30s. Variable cloudiness, cold tonight and tomorrow, low tonight in the low 20s, and a high tomorrow around 30. And the outlook for Tuesday, partly cloudy and continued cold. It's 18 minutes after 3 here on WNBC.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
At 18 and a half minutes after the monitor hour, here's Johnny Cash and June Carter.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?
If you were a carpenter and I were a lady, I'd marry you anyway. I'd have your baby.
If a tinker was my trade, would I still find you?
I'd be carrying the pot you made, following behind you.
Save your love through loneliness, save your love through sorrow. I gave you my onlyness, give me your tomorrow.
Population in college is becoming more important each year in a number of ways that most of us don't usually think about. For instance, take our next presidential election. Will the students help re-elect Nixon or not? For a look at the voting potential of our students, College Poll on Monitor takes some interesting national samples reported by Dean Mell, NBC News.
Most of today's 7 million college students will be eligible to vote in the 1972 presidential election. A political fact not lost on Democratic and Republican leaders. How students act and feel becomes of great interest, especially in evaluating trends in political thought. The most recent college poll contains some interesting facts. It shows President Nixon's campus popularity lower than a year ago. While he naturally fares well with college students who claim to be Republican, the Republican Party itself appears to be losing strength on campus at a time when the GOP is in power. There also are fewer students who claim to be Democrats. But the important fact is that well over half of the students, nearly 6 out of 10, reject both political parties. They claim to be independents. Monitor's college poll shows that the dissatisfaction with political parties is a growing trend among college students. More and more students feel the parties are indistinguishable. "I'd vote for the man, not the party," is the prevailing collegiate attitude. The college poll reveals that President Nixon lacks campus charisma, and a majority of students believe his performance in office is mediocre at best. On the other hand, most college students believe Mr. Nixon will be renominated in 1972, and if the Vietnam War is over, will be re-elected to a second term. A Republican with broad appeal among the students is New York's Mayor John Lindsay. The campus poll indicates he has strong backing in all sections of the country. But Mayor Lindsay's appeal is among the campus independents. Even so, there is no collegiate interest in a third-party movement. The college poll discovered Governor Wallace and his American Independence Party are complete campus washouts. Governor Nelson Rockefeller appears to have little campus backing, and Governor Reagan appeals largely to campus conservatives, a minority but growing collegiate group. The trend of voting for the man and not for the party could produce important shifts in the coming years. In a close presidential election in 1972, how the nation's 7 million collegians vote may well decide who occupies the White House for the following 4 years. This is Dean Mell for Monitor.
Interesting observations by Dean Mell in college polls. 6 out of 10 independents will vote for the man. They're not just standing by, the kids of today. It's always nice to have a friend, past, present, or even, better yet, future. Jimmy Rogers to show you what I mean.
Winking, whistling, pounding the bed. Here comes tomorrow and looking like a friend. Blue sky, stranger, sun in your hand. Please let it fly and shine across the land. Let's kick a pebble, move a mountain, find a sweeter plum, and sing a few new songs on the way. It all may take a little getting used to by some. Folks find it hard letting go of yesterday. Backyards, schoolyards, where do they end? You're going somewhere, let me tag along. Oh, I'm not afraid, because I know that tomorrow
a brief thought that you may find useful. Just a few moments ago, we were talking about college poll. If you got someone in the family getting ready to go to college in a couple of years, if you have, great. But then you should be ready, too. And the best way to get ready is to start that college fund right now with U.S. savings bonds. They pay a full 5% interest when held to maturity of 5 years and 10 months. 4% the first year. Savings bonds are safe. Sure, and they have special tax advantages when you buy them in your child's name. So join the payroll savings plan and build your college fund with United States savings bonds. and Hugo Montenegro. There's a quinella for you. And a little thing called Viva Max March. Say, can you guess where Monitor is heard in four states on one station? The answer, KOAM Radio in Pittsburgh, Kansas, reaching listeners in Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Missouri. Time to break right now, then Monitor will pick up where it left off. My name, Joe Garagiola. Absolutely right, you know. This is good old anti-ice and snow heartwarming Monitor. My name, Joe Garagiola. Hey, talk about heartwarming, though. During this half hour, you're going to hear a human interest story that just might make you cry a little bit, and I'm not saying that facetiously. It's all about a 40-year-old San Francisco bachelor who became an instant father when he adopted a 2-year-old boy. This is a group named Bossarillo, just doing their own thing, Blackbird.
Blackbird singing in a dead of night. Texas broken wings are looking fly. All alive. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbird singing in a dead of night.
Generation, you automatically think of hippies, right? Let me tell you, the over 30, even the over 40 generation is also a love generation. Now don't get ahead of me. I'm not talking about love-ins or pot parties. I'm talking about the example set by a 40-year-old San Francisco bachelor named Bill Jones, who has given fatherly love and a new life to a 2-year-old boy named Aaron. You wondering how? Bachelor Bill Jones adopted Aaron, that's how. And now you're going to ask, but why would a bachelor adopt a child? And how? Bill Jones answers those questions right now as he talks with Monitor reporter Bob Lazich in San Francisco.
Bill, why would a bachelor, a man age 40, suddenly decide to adopt a child?
Well, in the first place, it wasn't sudden. I've always wanted a child. I guess ever since I was a child myself, I probably wanted a family, like most children do. My life was such that that never came about. A lot of people are this way. They don't get married for some reason, either physical or mental, and or emotional. And that's just what happened to me. I was working very hard, and time just went by, and all of a sudden I was 40. It wasn't all of a sudden I thought about adopting a child.
Could you describe for me how you went about finding your son, Aaron?
Well, As I said, I've always been interested in children. I was a school teacher for 6 years. I tried devious ways of getting a child before. I went to Cuba. I went to the orphanages there, but they wouldn't let me bring a child back. I found a girl who was on welfare and was about to have a baby. She thought I'd make a marvelous father. And we went to a lawyer, and he said no, it would be a wrong thing to do, because if the child was born a handicapped child or something, I would be responsible for that child until he was 18. So I dismissed that. Finally, I read an article in the paper by Mary Tobin in the San Francisco Chronicle about how easy adoptions were. So I wrote to her, and she said, well, by all means, go down to the social services and see Dorothy Murphy. So I went, and we had our interview, and I was amazed. I had all the reasons listed in my mind that she would probably give me for not, you know, adopting a child. And instead, it was turned right around. I gave her the reasons that I shouldn't, and she started telling me, no. You know, I said, well, I'm not rich. And she said, well, lots of single parents who aren't rich raise children and do a good job of it. And I said, well, you know, I'm still young. I have girlfriends, and, you know, I want to go out at night. And she said, get a babysitter. And everything that I, you know, objected to, she had a reason for me to adopt. And really, it was sensible. Aaron had been turned down by three couples before I saw him. He would never have been adopted. He would have gone from one foster home to another until he was 18. And at that time, he'd been turned loose in the world without a cent in his pocket, and that would be it. I'm giving him a home. He'll be worth quite a bit of money when he's 18, because I have an equity in an apartment house that's building up. I'm giving him the best education I possibly can. He's surrounded by women. He goes to nursery school until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I have women tenants. I have girlfriends. I have family. He leads a very normal life, really.
But it must have taken some time for you to get used to having a child around. Isn't this a sort of infringement on your free time, so to speak?
Absolutely. But any child is an infringement on any adult's life, no matter how much they want them. But you work it out. You know, you can work out anything. Be careful what you want. You might get it.
Has it taken you a while to get used to it? Certainly you must have thought deeply about some of the things that and problems that you'd run into in having a child around the house. Did you anticipate them all, or were there some surprises?
Oh, you know, every day is a surprise. The worst problem that I had with Aaron in particular was that he was frightened as an infant of water, and to such a degree it was almost a phobia. And I spent almost a month cuddling him and loving him while he was near water and in water. I bought him a 4-foot plastic boat, finally, and we made that a toy. And finally, I put a little bit of water in it at night after his dinner, and we played with it. And finally, I got him to get into it. Now I can't get him out of the bathtub, and we go swimming. But it takes love, and it takes just time and time and time, you know, energy.
It's Bachelor Bill Jones, the father of an adopted 2-year-old boy. Pretty good example that all good parents recognize when you listen to him talk. Time plus energy equals love. There's a whole lot more to this story. And later this half hour, Bill Jones advises other would-be single parents how to go about adopting a child and the kind of questions the adoption agency asks you. You'll also hear why Bill Jones at first flatly rejected little Aaron and how they eventually became father and son. You always know what's happening to people when you stay on the Monitor Beacon.
Your son may become a scientist. Joe's daughter may become a doctor. millions of Americans want something better for their children. They are sending them to college to become the new movers and the doers of our society. But tuition bills aren't paying for it. Only about one-third of the costs, as a matter of fact, are paid by tuitions. That makes higher education a bargain. It also makes it a real concern. Our colleges are keeping higher education moving ahead, with facilities to explore new knowledge, with faculties increasing in size and brilliance, with new classrooms, new dorms, labs, and libraries. The costs for all of these are multiplying. Well, the result is our colleges and universities are in a financial crisis. They need more money from voluntary sources to help meet the bills. The dollar difference that tuition doesn't pay now amounts to billions. Give to the college of your choice. So says the Council for Financial Aid to Education. 15 minutes before 4 o'clock, back to monitor.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
You're traveling through the weekend world with Monitor. Earlier this half hour, you heard the beginning of a moving story about a bachelor from San Francisco who adopted a 2-year-old boy. The bachelor is Bill Jones, and the little boy's name is Aaron. Monitor reporter Bob Lazich continues his story now by asking Bill Jones for information on how other single people can become parents by adoption.
There must be a lot of people across the country listening to us right now who are single, who would like to have children. What should they do?
Well, there are always several agencies in each city. There's the social services, like the one I went through in California. That's a state-licensed county social service. There's also a Catholic adoptive service. There are always, you know, two or three. And they should go there. They should try to talk to whoever's in charge and see what can be done. Actually, there's no law in California stating that single people can adopt. It's really, it's almost a loophole. There's no law against it. And so the social services have been, you know, bright enough to see through this. Now, it's going to take liberalizing of agencies before single people can do it, but single people can push it. There's no sense, there's no reason why you can't, you know, write to your congressman or the president or somebody.
What are some of the questions the agency asks you, and what are some of the things they want to know about you when you go to adopt?
Well, they want to know your complete family history, your financial history. I had to have 4 recommendations from 4 families that had children that thought that I would be a good parent. Mostly we talked about attitudes about children. You know, can I love a child as much as if it were my own? And that was hard to say at the time. I do now. When I first saw Aaron, I rejected him. It was a pathetic, little dramatic incident, but he'd been in a foster home for 2 years with 3 infants in the home, 3 foster children in the home, plus 2 of the woman's own children. The woman really didn't have time for these children, and so he wasn't potty trained. He didn't know how to speak. He had teeth, but he couldn't chew. He smelled the high heaven because he had this phobia about water. And when he came into the room for me to observe him, he just stared at the walls. He couldn't respond to people. He couldn't respond even to a toy. He didn't even know what a toy was. And so I said, I turned to my social worker and I said, you know, I can't love an ugly child, and I can't love an ugly child plus an unresponsive child. And I said, please don't give up on me. And she said, oh, don't worry, you know, a lot of parents reject the first child they see. But the next day was his birthday, and I kept thinking about him, and my brother kept after me, said, you know, love can change anything. And so Monday I went back to look at him for a second time, and I was talking to the social worker, and I said, You know, I really expected Shirley Temple to come out and sing On the Good Ship Lollipop or something, and for us to ride off into a sunset together. And he was in the next room, and he recognized my voice, and I guess he knew that I had come back after him. And he came running through the door and threw his arms around my legs, and I stood there crying. And it's true, in 6 months' time, he started looking like he'd just stepped out of McCall's magazine.
Thank you very much, Bill Jones, a bachelor and a father. This is Bob Lazich in San Francisco for Monitor.
Some kind of story, wasn't it? If you're wondering what Bill Jones and his adopted son Aaron look like, there's a great picture story on them in the December issue of Family Health magazine. You know, the whole child adoption picture is changing quite a bit these days. The Wall Street Journal ran a front-page story about how adoption is easier now for placing children with single people. For instance, a 29-year-old Chicago policeman is adopting a baby boy who was abandoned at a Chicago hospital. Such adoptions still aren't common or easily accomplished, but they are happening more often. And one of the reasons is a continuing shortage of willing couples who want to adopt children. And that's kind of sad.
Well, honey, I know I've said it too many times before. I said I'd never say it again. I guess I shouldn't say anything at all, since you're supposed to belong to him. But I just can't let you go without telling you just how much I love you. So that is why I'm gonna say it one more time. Honey, come back, I just can't stand. Each lonely day's a little bit longer than the last time I held you. Seems like 100 years ago. Back to his arms and never know the joy of love that used to taste like honey. Come back where you belong to only me. That's about all I gotta say. So I'm just gonna take my bags and I'm gonna walk. I know those bright lights are calling you. Big fine cars and fancy cars. But if you ever want somebody to just love you, someday you just may, just give me a call. You know where I am. And here's what I'll say. Honey, come back, I just can't stand. Each lonely day's a little bit longer than the last time I held you. Seems like 100 years ago. Back to his arms and never know the joy of love that used to taste like honey. Come back where you belong to only me. Honey, come back where you belong to only me. Honey, come back where you belong to only me.
No mistaking that voice, or the guitar, for that matter, the Oklahoma plowboy, Glenn Campbell.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in my hand. And every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting scarlet lips.
again, I'll play the game and pretend. But all my words come back to me in shades of mediocrity, like emptiness and harmony. I need someone to comfort me.
Brenda Byers, and I got a quote of the week for you. This is a pretty good one, I think. It's a pretty good jab by Notre Dame basketball coach Johnny D, jabbing Adolph Rupp of Kentucky. Commenting on Kentucky coach Adolph Rupp's career record, Johnny D said, "Okay, so Adolph has won 800 in some games. 500 of them have been against Southeastern Conference teams. That'd be like me going down to Texas with six kids from Canada and starting a hockey league." Enoch Lights Orchestra playing Day of Anger.
Whose time is coming up now? Ba 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 ba.
They're right, so stay right here and keep up with whatever is happening across the country and around the world. Joe Garagiola is my name. NBC Monitor News on the Hour next.